From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. On today's show, we'll be joined by a national policy expert who has testified before Congress to talk about the issue of state-sponsored gambling, and specifically, sports betting. This is an important topic that a lot of people have questions about, like, why should I care? Let people gamble if they want to gamble. Or what about all the money we always hear about that's going over to Iowa? We'll get into those questions and more, because this past week, three major expanded gambling proposals were heard in the Nebraska Legislature's General Affairs Committee, including, for the first time ever, legislation to legalize sports gambling. We'll fill you in on what you need to know and how Christians should think about this issue. Plus, we'll also talk about a bill Nebraska Family Alliance testified in support of last week that highlights the need for greater assistance to trafficking victims because of what we're learning about how traffickers are targeting and grooming victims online through popular dating apps and social media platforms. We have now reached day 25 in this year's 60-day working session in the Nebraska legislature, and it was a big week at our Capitol. Last Monday, the General Affairs Committee held a hearing on three separate expanded gambling bills, including one that would legalize sports gambling through the state lottery, another bill that would legalize sports betting, fantasy sports, and poker as games of skill, and a third that is a constitutional amendment that amends the Nebraska state constitution by authorizing the state legislature to legalize any game of chance, including not just sports betting, but things like casinos, slot machines, and so on. And so it was a big week, and it was all about gambling. And you know, this is an issue that when I first started getting involved in government and politics and policy, I hadn't always really thought very, very deeply about. I think, like a lot of people, there aren't very well-formulated opinions on the issue of gambling, or it's just, you know, very simple. If people want to gamble and make that decision, you know, let them gamble. But of course, proponents, the people pushing for more gambling, their instant fallback, what they always go to is that people are already doing this, and people from Omaha are driving across the river over to the casinos in Council Bluffs. And if we would legalize casinos and more forms of gambling in Nebraska, we could keep that money here. But what we know in reality is that really is a false choice. There are huge consequences to gambling, and specifically to state-sponsored gambling. You know, when we think about things like joining an office pool for, you know, the March Madness bracket, or a buddy comes over to watch the game and you know, you make a $10 or $20 bet, those are all examples of social gambling. And you can do that already. Lots of people do. You know, that's up to them. They can take that risk and have fun with their friends. But these bills before the Nebraska legislature, what we're talking about here is state-sanctioned predatory gambling, where the state of Nebraska, as a government program, is actually partnering with these gambling organizations to help sponsor and promote gambling to the citizens of Nebraska. And it was very telling that when the legislature, the General Affairs Committee, had the hearing on Monday, when the first sports gambling bill came up, not a single proponent testifier came to speak in support of the bill. And the room was packed with people who were there to oppose that legislation. And there's good reason for that. You know, including Coach Tom Osborne was there to testify against the bills, as was Johnny Rogers and pastors and a number of people who are very active and prominent in the state in working with youth and young people. And so this is an important issue, and it's one that we're going to keep hearing more about, especially as there's a campaign going on right now to put casino gambling on the ballot in 2020. But this is an issue that I think Christians in particular really need to start understanding and thinking more deeply about. So With me now on the program to talk about this is a good friend and national expert, Les Burnell, director of Stop Predatory Gambling, a national network of individuals, citizens, and organizations based in Washington, D.C. Les has testified before Congress and appeared on national television and radio programs, including 60 Minutes, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and NPR. His work has been cited by more than 600 newspapers and magazines, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, USA Today, and Sports Illustrated. And he joins us now on Capital Connection. Les, it's great to have you on the program.
It's great to be here.
Les, tell us just a little bit, why are you and your organization, Stop Predatory Gambling, why are you dedicated to fighting against the expansion of gambling?
Sure. So just a little background on me. Like, I'm a former high school and college men's basketball coach for 12 years. You know, I grew up in the state of Massachusetts, where the lottery at the time was kind of just like the paint on the wall. I never questioned it. And I worked as a chief of staff in the Massachusetts Senate back in the early part of the 2000s. And it was really there. I worked for a state senator who was opposed to casinos. And that's really, really got first introduced to this topic. I never thought about it before. But to me, the crystal moment for me where I got hooked on it forever, and it really ultimately ended up changing the arc of my life, was in 2003, the New York Times Magazine had sent a journalist out to do a big story on slot machines. Slot machines were sweeping across the country, including here in the Midwest. And so the Times went out and wanted to get a sense of who the big company that makes these machines is called IGT, International Gambling Technologies. So as part of that story, the reporter went out to Las Vegas, where the slot machines are made, IGT's headquarters. And he's going around to each employee saying, do you gamble, you know, with the machines you make? And to a person, none of these slot machine makers gambled. But he went up to one final slot maker and he said, you know, do you play these machines? And the person, this is how the Times reporter described it. He spat on the floor and said, slots are for losers. And I said, when I saw that, this isn't, you know, some major bank going in and ripping people off with bad loans or whatever. Like, this is a government program. Like, slot machines are only legal if state government partners with these entities. So when they say, slots are for losers, like these were, back then I was working in the Senate, these are our constituents, these are our neighbors, you know, and so that hooked me on it forever, and it changed the arc of my life. So for the last 12 years, I've had the privilege of leading a national network called Stop Predatory Gambling, and we're pushing to get the biggest social reform done in our country, and that's to cut the amount of financial losses suffered by the American people by 50% over the next 8 years, because during that same time period, if we don't reform anything, the American people are going to lose $1 trillion of personal wealth. And to put that in Nebraska numbers, over the last, since 1993, the citizens of Nebraska have lost $1.2 billion of personal wealth to the Nebraska State Lottery.
It's absolutely staggering when you actually hear those numbers and those statistics. Les, what makes gambling, you know, why is this different from any other business or industry? I think oftentimes, people don't really have a formed opinion on this issue, and maybe they don't gamble themselves, and they just think, hey, if someone wants to go gamble, they should be able to do so. But what have you seen in your work on this issue?
Sure. So I think it's important for your listeners to distinguish between like social gambling and commercialized gambling. So commercialized gambling is what we focus on. It's when states partner with these big, powerful corporate gambling interests to do it for profit. So if you have an office Super Bowl pool, you know, that's social gambling, or a Friday night poker game. You know, we don't endorse that, nor do we support it. We don't get into that world, but that's a very different thing what you do privately. This is a government program encouraging citizens to gamble. And so it's a false perception out there that gambling is just like any other business, because it's not. What separates it from every other business, including other vices like alcohol and tobacco, is that commercialized gambling is a big con game. You know, citizens are conned into thinking that they can win money on games that are designed to get them fleeced in the end. Okay, so you go up, you pay for a pizza, you get a ticket to a sporting event, you go out and buy a glass of wine. That's what you receive in return. In commercialized gambling, what you receive is the lure that you might win some money. Okay, it's a financial exchange. But this financial exchange is mathematically rigged against you so that you lose your money in the end, especially if you keep gambling. So it's a form of consumer financial fraud. And that's why it's illegal for any of us to go up at our own lottery, to run our own casino. It's only legal to rip your neighbor off if the state partners with you.
You know, that's one of the big reasons that Nebraska Family Alliance opposes state-sponsored gambling, because as you talked about, we're talking about our own state government promoting and sponsoring gambling to their own citizens and encouraging people to go out and gamble away their hard-earned cash on games, as you talked about, that are literally designed for them to lose. You know, that's money taken away from businesses and out of our state, and at the same time, cultivating addiction and increasing social costs that all taxpayers end up paying for, whether they ever gamble or not. But the gambling industry is relentless. They come every year with these proposals to expand gambling. And this year in the Nebraska legislature, for the first time, there are bills to legalize sports gambling. And this has drawn a lot of attention. Celeste, what's your perspective? What do people need to know about these bills in Nebraska to make sports gambling legal? Why is that not a good idea?
So, well, the first key point I want to make is probably a significant portion of your listeners probably never buy a lottery ticket, probably never gamble themselves. And what they need to understand is that you pay even if you don't play. Okay, so commercialized gambling, whether it's in the form of lotteries or now these proposals to expand sports gambling here, it's the ultimate budget gimmick. Okay, so right now the state of Nebraska, you have 50% of citizens here don't have $1,000 in the bank for savings. Okay, one out of three citizens have zero savings. All right, so here you have all these people in need, are trapped in poverty, okay, trapped in this incredible cycle of debt. And a lot of your tax dollars are going to supposedly help people get out of poverty. It's food stamps, housing subsidies, subsidizing health care, whatever it may be, to help get people out of poverty. So you the non-gambler, like, you're paying for this whole racket. Like, these people are trapped in since 1993, the people in Nebraska have lost $1.2 billion on the state lottery alone. Here in Nebraska, imagine if that $1.2 billion was in people's retirement accounts and housing funds for people, you know, to help people, you know, sort of subsidizing people's housing, to help pay for people's health care costs, to help pay for tuition for kids to go to college. Like, it would have life-changing losses is what those represent. And you, the non-gambler, you're paying for this, and this huge racket, this huge fraud, but with higher taxes and less services. And so these sports gambling bills that are proposed here, they're just an extension of what has been a huge public policy failure in Nebraska that has cost everybody, whether you ever buy a ticket or not, whether you ever lay a wager, you have a lower standard of living in the state, and you're part of a society that is really, you know, God calls us to love our neighbor, you know, like ourselves. This is about loving yourself more than your neighbor.
That's well said. And Les, you know, one of the things that I found interesting in studying, looking at this issue, is the way that sports gambling directly impacts kids and children. What have you seen in other areas or other countries, other states where sports gambling has been legal? What has that done to the way that sports are sort of used in society, and specifically the way that children view and play sports?
So I think if Nebraska was to ever to be foolish enough to go down the road of sports betting, the demographic that's going to be hit the hardest are going to be Nebraska kids. Okay, and the reason for that is it's the marketing and the relentless advertising that comes along with commercialized sports betting. So what we've seen, you know, what that means is, the way Nebraska kids consume sports will be radically altered. So what we've seen in places in around the world where commercialized sports gambling has been legalized is kids can't distinguish between sports and gambling because they become one and the same. So instead of rooting for the Cornhuskers to win, you start rooting for the Cornhuskers going to cover the spread, you know, and these kind of sports bets that are happening in 2020. It's not just like a traditional sports bet when you bet what's called the spread, like, you know, when the Nebraska win by 3 points. It's, is the next play in this Nebraska football game going to be a run or a pass? You know, bet you $50 now. It's like playing a slot machine, you know, in terms of the speed of play. It's called in-play wagering. So you're wagering throughout the game with constant, unlimited amount of bets. And the other side, it's not just traditional sports where these commercialized gambling operators want to bring gambling onto. They want to bring gambling onto anything that's a contest, and I put contest in quotes. So today, younger people, they're not watching traditional sports as much as older generations. So what they are doing, though, is playing video games. And so you've seen this huge push in our country now, so this competitive video game contest and so on. And, you know, that's not our concern, But what these gambling interests want to do is want to bring wagering, competitive gambling onto video games. So if you have kids, grandkids, nieces and nephews, think how much people are playing video games today. The idea that you're going to let them monetize it, they're already addictive as it is. Now you're going to let them try to gamify that experience on young people. You know, it's why in places like the UK, there's more kids addicted to gambling today in the United Kingdom than there are to alcohol and tobacco. I mean, that's where they want to take this country. You know, they want to force us into your community. It's not just going to be brick and mortar casinos offering sports gambling. Ultimately, what they want is to bring it in through the internet. That's where the money is, right into your living room, right into your kid's bedroom.
And I think that's such an important point because this is radically different from other more traditional forms of gambling, where it's not just brick and mortar. Now what we're talking about is anyone, including kids, can just pull out their cell phone and go online or have an app and start gambling. And we know that the harm that causes to families and children. And so let me ask you, you know, the primary argument in favor of expanding gambling that we always hear in Nebraska and that's being made now by pro gambling senators in our state legislature is that Nebraska, that we are the foolish ones if we don't legalize more forms of gambling because we're losing money across the river to Iowa, and Iowa is benefiting from all this extra tax revenue, and boy, it sure would be great if we could keep that here in Nebraska. Why does that argument not hold any weight?
So that argument goes to the core of kind of what we kicked this conversation off, is what makes commercialized gambling different than any other business is it's a form of consumer financial fraud, right? It's a big con. So the idea that no legislators can't stand up and say, the ones that are lobbying for this, they can't stand up and say, hey, this is going to be a great thing for the people in Nebraska, because it's not true. It's dishonest. It's clearly not going to be good. The only thing they can stand on is to say, well, they're going to another state to do it. It's a recycled argument that every state in the country, whether you're in Alabama, they say that about going to Mississippi and Louisiana. If you're in New England, they talk about, we don't do it in Massachusetts, they're going to go to Connecticut and New York. It's a recycled, phony argument, because when something is dishonest, when a business practice is blatantly dishonest, the people that stand up and promote it have to speak about it dishonestly. They have to promote it dishonestly. And that goes to the core. So the truth is, if they were so concerned about all the money being lost in Iowa, what you could do, if you're a legislator who puts your constituents first, who put the people first, is why aren't you filing legislation to stop the Iowa casinos from marketing here to Nebraska citizens? Okay, you can't keep them from going over the border, but you can sure as heck stop them from mailing your constituents and ripping them off from this fraud, putting Nebraska citizens into deeper financial debt, because that's what this program does. And you, the non-gambler, you would pay. You know, Nebraska is a better place today for the last 20 years for the fact that it hasn't gone down the road of casinos, because in state after state, it's been a colossal failure, and it'll be a failure here in Nebraska if you went down that road.
Well, we deeply care about families and kids in Nebraska and the values that we cherish, and gambling stands in direct contrast to those values and the best interests of families and citizens across our state. And currently, the pro-gambling lobby, they're circulating petitions, collecting signatures to put casino gambling on the ballot once again in Nebraska in 2020, something that Nebraska voters have continually and rightfully rejected. Les, let me ask you, in your work that you've seen traveling across the country talking about this issue, what kind of effects have you seen that state-sponsored gambling has had on families and some of the personal stories and heartache that you've seen due to state-sponsored gambling?
So it has destroyed families as much as, and we call this America's biggest, most neglected problem. And the only reason why state attorney generals in the country aren't going after these commercialized gambling operators to stop these incredible predatory practices that harm families is because the state is a partner. Okay, if this was an opioid manufacturer, the attorney general wouldn't be suing these people, the state attorney generals, okay? Here, the state's a partner, so everyone kind of shields their eyes. So half the profits in commercialized gambling come from citizens who are addicted to commercialized gambling. They didn't start out addicted because the gambling wasn't everywhere. Now they made gambling so accessible, promoted by the state, they have addicted millions of citizens. Okay, so that's why over the next 8 years, the people of our country are going to lose $1 trillion of personal wealth. $1 trillion of personal wealth that would go into stabilizing families. I mean, one of the number one factors in divorce in our country is money problems. Okay, this is a central money problem You know, like this is creates money problems. Okay. And then you have parents going, you know, because these casinos, they incentivize people to come down the casino with free play and so on. So you have parents going in, you know, leaving their kids in the car, neglected, you know, for hours. Because the whole experience inside a casino is to get you to forget. You know, it's get you to escape the challenges of everyday life, right? So they get you in, they suck you in. As long as you lose the money, they'll keep you gambling. So, you know, your kids are at home by themselves, locked in cars. I mean, there's countless examples. There's you'd be hard pressed to find a bigger issue in our country that is more neglected than the impact that commercialized gambling has had on citizens in our nation. It's the role it plays in our debt culture and the addiction, the human tragedy it's left behind. It's been so normalized that so few people have questioned it. But this is all since like the 1990s. This has been a new phenomenon in our nation, you know. So, and that's why anyone serious, regardless of your political persuasion, anyone serious about improving the lives of the American people, it includes getting government to stop this huge financial fraud that it's committing on both gamblers, the people who gamble, and all the people who don't gamble, which is roughly 2/3 of taxpayers. It's one of the biggest failures in our country. Biggest social reform we can do to make a meaningful difference is to cut the losses by 50% over the next 8 years.
Well, Les, I so appreciate your leadership on this issue and the work that you and your organization are doing. And you have a lot of fantastic resources and information about all the things that we've talked about today on casinos and sports gambling at your website. How can people get these resources and view this information on your website?
Sure. So Stop Predatory Gambling is a national charity. It's a national network based in Washington, D.C. We are our website is stoppredatorygambling.org. I encourage you to get, sign up and get on our network, involved with our network. Regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum in our society, this is the social reform that would bring the biggest consequential fix to improving people's lives in our country. And we're glad to be a partner with you here in this state. And we look forward to changing Nebraska and improving people's lives here in the long term.
Thanks so much, Les. Once again, thank you, Les Burnell, Director of Stop Predatory Gambling. Les, grateful for you being on the show today and your work to fight the unfairness and inequality of state-sponsored gambling.
Thank you.
And for more information on this issue and all of the bills that Nebraska Family Alliance is actively working on and monitoring in the Nebraska legislature, visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Click on our bill tracker page, where you can see short summaries and up-to-date information on all of the most important legislation that would directly impact you and your family that we are working for and against in this year's session. There are a lot of important bills out there. And one more that we wanted to highlight on the show today was heard in front of the Revenue Committee this past week that Nebraska Family Alliance provided testimony in favor of. And this bill, LB 987, deals with the issue of human trafficking and provider greater assistance to human trafficking victims. And specifically, this bill really addresses the problem that we have today in our digital age of traffickers targeting and grooming victims online, especially through dating apps and popular social media platforms. And what we're learning is that as the digital age has progressed, the use of dating apps has become a norm, which can be a great thing. Many people, millions of Americans, have found love or met their spouse through some of these dating websites and apps. But tragically, this rise in dating app usage has also been linked to numerous cases of human trafficking, as traffickers are turning to popular social media and dating websites to do their recruiting online. Since the shutdown of websites such as Backpage.com that were known to perpetuate prostitution and sex trafficking, traffickers have shifted towards dating apps as a means of recruitment for their sex trafficking schemes. From January 2015 through July 2018, the National Human Trafficking Hotline documented 969 potential victims of sex trafficking who were recruited on internet platforms. And this includes at least 147 victims who were recruited on a dating site. With just a click of a button, traffickers are able to lure in victims with manipulative tactics, often preying on the most defenseless and vulnerable individuals by introducing ideas of a better life or promises of affection. Thankfully, our state legislature has been active in passing numerous anti-trafficking bills into law in recent years. And this bill is another step in the right direction. And what it does is pretty simple. It actually eliminates a tax exemption that's written into law for escort services and dating services, and directs new funding to the Trafficking Victim Assistance Fund. Given what we know about the increasing use of technology and internet platforms for locating and grooming victims of sex trafficking, and specifically escort services and their link and connection to trafficking, it makes sense for the state to also seek new revenue streams to increase funding for the Human Trafficking Victim Assistance Fund. And this should be a priority for our state, and why NFA was there to support it and to speak to this issue, because trafficking is a direct affront to the dignity of a human person created in the image and likeness of God. And that is why we must keep working to bring an end to trafficking in our state. That's all the time that we have for this week. We'll be back with more updates from the Nebraska Capitol and the most important bills impacting family, freedom, and life next week. Until then, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.